Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Wednesday, February 1st. What a warm February day it is. On today's program, Mitt Romney won Florida, even did some singing in the Sunshine State. So is this the beginning of a long roll of wins to the nomination? I'll ask a seasoned MSU political science professor, what, if anything, can stop him now? And an Iranian-American from Michigan now facing the death penalty in Iran, accused of spying for the U.S., of course. The Michigan Council on American-Islamic Relations sending the country's supreme leader a letter asking him to intervene. I'll talk to the council's state executive director about how likely that will work. But first, the new emergency financial manager law again taking center stage as a manager is assigned to the Detroit suburb of Highland Park School District. Although one Democratic lawmaker says not so fast. That's State Senator Burt Johnson of Highland Park. He's leading a committee to try to resolve the school district's issues on its own. And he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Senator Johnson.
Michael, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Very good. Thank you for joining me. So let's begin with the actual deficit the school district is facing. Just how big of a hole are they in?
City of Highland Park School District has a huge deficit. We've never made any bones about that. And deficits, Michael, mean that essentially you're spending more than you're bringing in. And for a protracted period of time, there's been no real check and balance on it. And so we don't quibble with the fact that there's a deficit, but we also wanted to put front and center of the governor, who is the author and the architect of this Public Act 4 that has really been installed in a number of areas around the state. We wanted to put in front of him the fact that this investment, wholesale disinvestment in cities like Highland Park, are as much to blame for this crisis in property tax loss, in people loss, in the number of students who no longer are in the district, as much as anyone could say mismanagement is the culprit.
Well, and certainly many school districts across the state are facing the same thing, and they're dealing with it in their own terms. You know, some say there's been plenty of time for the Highland School District or Highland Park School District to resolve its financial problems before the EFM was assigned. Why weren't the district's issues addressed earlier?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm going to tell you something. You've heard people around the region talk about how Detroit's problems have been in the making for 30 to 40 years. Well, Highland Park is not unlike Detroit. When you see Chrysler leave, when you see Ford leave, and when you move from a city that had once had 50,000 people, known as both the City of Trees and Lights, with the first paved roadway in the nation, go down to about under 12,000 people in population, and you see the school district decimated, then you're going to have these kinds of issues. Michael, 2.5-3 years ago, the Career Academy, which functioned as a smaller school that was inside the larger community college in Highland Park, it closed abruptly at the end of the year. There were 3,200 students in that school, in the school district, and it comprised 1,900 in that building. And now you see that there's a little less than 1,000. You're going to have wholesale issues with your budgets when that kind of thing happens. And so that's the reason, that's the genesis for what we're now calling the Financial and Academic Reinvestment Commission. That's the reason we put it together, because we needed to shine a light on this city and say that this situation is unique, so unique that everything that the emergency manager would do under typical form when they come to a city or a school district has really already been done. The food service is privatized. A number of the janitorial services are privatized. Transportation is privatized. And so this person doesn't have on his to-do list a lot of things to do. That's why if you've come to some of the meetings that the new manager is speaking at, he's really following the lead of the current superintendent.
You're almost describing a situation where the entire school district just needs to be shut down.
Well, you can't shut the school district down, because I think you would agree with me, if you're going to have a city, there are certain amenities and things that have to be attached to a city to make the city a whole city. You've got to have police and fire services. You've got to have hospital or emergency health services. You got to have libraries. You have to have schools. Because, frankly, how could you ever attract a family with school-age children to that city if you're not going to have a place for them to absolutely go to school? And that means that they need to be able to walk down the street or right around the corner to get their education.
What exactly can the committee do now that an EFM has been assigned? Isn't it too late?
Well, no, it's never too late for people to get involved and have a say in their government. This nation was founded on people who believed that government had gone way too far, and at some point there needed to be an interdiction. And so here's what the commission is set to do. We're having our first public hearing on Friday, where we're going to bring in a number of stakeholders, partners, and people and entities and organizations that want to be involved, not the least of which are both the students and the parents. And then we're set to have a series of public hearings that will put together a white paper outlining all the solutions that we think this city is going to need to turn this school district around. If I walk you through the high school today, Michael, you start to cry when you realize that the high school should be condemned. And so we're going to need a new facility. We're going to need to consolidate some of the schools under probably one roof, which would be an excellent way to showcase a brand new and beautiful educational edifice where you could attract children from around the region. There's a lot that can be done. And finally, and I'm telling you, people in the city are excited. Finally, people are going to have some say with which, you know, the district, how it moves forward.
I'm talking to State Senator Bert Johnson of Highland Park about the Highland Park School District having an EFM assigned to it and what the options now are. I mean, it sounds like a long-term project, having all the schools consolidated into one building. Aren't there going to be cuts that will have to be made, at least in the short term?
There will be cuts that have to be made in the short term, but I would tell you, I bet about 90% of those cuts have already happened before we got an EM. And here's what I mean when I say wholesale disinvestment and how you could right that ship immediately. When Jennifer Granholm was on the clock as governor here, she ushered in battery technology and battery manufacturing because she said this was the wave of the future. This is how you do it. They absolutely picked a location for that manufacturing to occur. They gave tax credits. They made sure that those businesses had everything they needed, from amenities to structural improvements, so that situation could be successful. What I'm saying to the governor, and we're going to outline this according to what he's preached about coming into this state as a business, we're saying to him, you have to choose Highland Park. There's no other place to be when you consider you've got Woodward, you've got I-75, you've got the Lodge Freeway, you've got the Davidson Freeway, and you're exchanging very closely to I-94 and I-96. So if you're trucking like Coca-Cola, you want to be here. If you're like Butco, you want to be here. And we're going to ask the governor to heavily invest some of his business capital in trying to rebuild and regenerate finances here in the city of Highland Park. That in and of itself, Michael, will draw in families who want to be close to where they work.
Mayor Virge Bernero gave a State of the City address here in Lansing this week, and he pointed out to the fact that we again are going to see consolidations and cuts this year, and that is something the city's been doing for many years now, and it's just how things need to be done to avoid an emergency manager situation. Was the Highland Park School District, was there massive mismanagement, and should there have not been some kind of sequential cuts made or plans made for this situation?
Yeah, you know what? I make no apologies for the current school board here that was just taken over, but I will say this. A number of them have shown me real evidence of having proposed certain cuts that they believe, if they were done over the last couple of years, might have staved some of this problem off. But I also say this, that the governor is going to have to own up to what it is that he's done. You look at a city like Detroit, which has a structural deficit in the area of about $12 billion. Broken down, you've got $5 billion in overlapping pension and health care costs. You've got another $5 billion that's in the debt attached to the water department, and $2 billion of that is in the general fund. If you ask Dave Bing tonight, how much money does he need to stave off an emergency manager so he can keep his cash flow going, he's going to tell you somewhere in the area of $50 million. Forget the $220 million that the state probably owes the city under a defunct agreement. Forget even the $450 million that the city's not been able to collect in its own stead, because it agreed to something. Mm-hmm. If this governor simply gave statutory revenue sharing to the city of Detroit as is promulgated under the law, that's $179 million. Mm-hmm. And so what people are not talking about is how this governor is strangleholding cities, strangleholding school districts, and expecting them to make it. Michael, if I take your wallet from you tonight, I take your credit cards and leave you with $20 and say, manage your household for the next 30 days, you're going to call me crazy and demand to have your wallet back.
Well, although Republicans do point to structural problems, long-term issues that need to be addressed in kind of a definitive way. I do want to ask you, though, about Detroit. Mayor Bing says there is a tentative agreement reached with 25 of the city's 48 labor unions. Do you think that ultimately this will be a close but not quite situation? It looks like there's still quite a lot of work ahead.
I'm sure there's a lot of work ahead for the unions and the mayor and the council to do, but Let me say this on the record for the people who listen to your show. There is not going to be an emergency manager in the city of Detroit, mark my words, because the number of dollars that are attached in bond deficits and debts out on Wall Street, should you get an emergency manager, which is a public declaration of everything except the bankruptcy, but it's treated the same out on Wall Street, then you would see all of these debts, massive debts, that the city of Detroit cannot afford to bring in and pay right now being called to bear. And so that would create a huge problem in both the city and the state's treasury. This governor, this treasurer, they might be a little overreaching. They might be a little wild with respect to the policies that they put forth. But, Michael, they're not crazy. What you will see in the city of Detroit is a consent arrangement, and you will see certain things that are supposed to be done, and I suspect that the mayor and the council will try to adhere to those things. That being said, it's one of the reasons that you probably still see the obstinates being evidenced by your uniformed union employees, and that would be police and fire, who are saying there's no deal unless everybody's at the table.
Well, you're saying ultimately they're confident that that will not happen, although obviously the governor and he's got a review team in place, so they're set to proceed, it looks like.
You know, the governor wants to be reelected. And I'm a Democrat, and I want to see a Democrat elected. But the governor also knows that if you stick an emergency manager down in the city of Detroit, he's accountable for what happens on that person's watch. His approval rating is not necessarily higher than that of our president, who, by the way, will be reelected. And so he's just in a position that he has to act accordingly, and a consent arrangement is going to be what rules the day.
Democratic State Senator Burt Johnson of Highland Park. Senator Johnson, thank you very much for joining me.
Michael, thank you for having me. Have a great one.